Jeremiah is the writer, and it is called, of course, the Lamentations of Jeremiah. By way of background, Jeremiah lived in the final days of the southern kingdom of Judah. He was called to preach at that time. We see that in Jeremiah chapter 1, so he's called to preach in a time of national crisis. He's told to address the glaring sins of the people and the deepening backsliding. He was sent to warn them of God's coming judgment, that they would be going into captivity. And the book of Jeremiah, of course, contains the messages that Jeremiah preached to the nation. And again, it was several messages. You read over and over throughout the book of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. And that introduces a message that Jeremiah would preach. And we know what happened. The people did not hearken to Jeremiah's message. Jeremiah preached for about 40 years, telling the people to repent, to turn to God, that judgment was coming. False prophets were in the land, making the people feel good about themselves, feel safe in their sins, and so they continued in their sins. And Jeremiah, of course, preached with a heavy burden. You see that throughout the book of Jeremiah. He was considered as an enemy by the people. They persecuted him severely. And then you come to the book of Lamentations, and the nation has fallen. The southern kingdom of Judah has gone into Babylonian captivity. Jerusalem, for the most part, has been destroyed, reduced to mere rubble by the Babylonian army. And the book of Lamentations is just that. It's Lamentations. It's Jeremiah weeping, sobbing, grieving, mourning over what has happened to the southern kingdom. So Lamentations describes Jeremiah's suffering, describes his anguish, describes his heartbreak over the devastation of Judah. We'd like to turn to chapter 3, and we'll read the first 26 verses. Jeremiah speaking, he says, "I am the man that hath seen affliction or suffering by the rod of his wrath," speaking of his chastisement. "He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light." Again, think on these words as we read them. It shows the misery of Jeremiah. "Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall, nuisance, torment, and travail, struggle. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. All hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate." Again, Jeremiah is speaking. I believe he's speaking of himself. He's also speaking in behalf of the kingdom. "He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. It was a derision or a mockery to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. As thou hast removed my soul far off from peace, I forget prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Now, we'll continue reading in a minute, but from those verses, you see that Jeremiah is in great affliction, but coming to, and these are the things he's thinking upon, and then beginning with verse 21, there's a dramatic shift. And notice, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is, again, as you read the first 20 verses, no sign of hope anywhere. But now coming to verse 21, we see, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So you see there's two obvious divisions in these verses that we read, the first 20 verses. Jeremiah is in great affliction. We want to take our thought tonight from verse 21. This I recall to my mind. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, the result of recalling this to his mind, have I hope. We want to speak on the power of mental recall. Again, in verses 1 through 20, Jeremiah is speaking about the fall of Judah. He speaks in a tone of sorrow, tone of desolation. The verses are filled with gloom, filled with despondency. There's depression. There's misery. Everything is joyless and woeful. He uses metaphors to describe his condition. But coming to verse 21, there's a transition. There's a transition in Jeremiah's thought process. This I recall. This I recollect. This I bring to my mind. And then what follows is what he began to think upon. But as a result of the transition in Jeremiah's thought process, there was also a transition in his spirit. Therefore have I hope. Or therefore have I desire, expectation, assurance. These verses speak of the importance of the mind. We need to know just how important and how significant the mind is. How important thoughts are. We know that thoughts can really determine our mood. They can determine our attitude, our spirit. Now the devil knows very well the power of the mind. So we see here in these verses, in this transition point in verse 21, the importance of the mind. It begins in verses 1 through 20. Jeremiah is in great affliction, great distress of soul. But his memory is jogged, and when that happens, his whole spirit changes drastically. Again, he says, I recall. We cannot recall what's not already there. If God is not in our thoughts, you can't recall those thoughts because they're not there. You can only recall what's here. And therein lies a huge problem with many people. because what's up here is not good. But Jeremiah had thoughts of God. He had, his mind had been saturated with the Lord. And here he is in a great time of trial and affliction. And he recalls, he recollects to his mind. Now, we must be very careful what we allow to be put into our minds. We must be very, very cautious. Now, I realize there are things that enter our mind that we cannot help. Things happen, the mind works, and it's done. But we don't have to dwell upon it. And we need to realize the importance of what we think, what we dwell upon in our minds. Paul gives instruction in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Think upon these things. And he lists things that we ought to think upon. And the reason he tells us to think upon these things is because the mind has powerful influence. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 we read, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's who we are. How we think is who we are. The Bible speaks of a carnal mind, Romans 8 verse 7, the carnal mind, and that's a mind filled with earthly things. Not necessarily sinful things, but earthly things. The carnal mind is enmity against God. That mind that is filled with earthly things, again, it doesn't even have to be sinful things, is a mind that's at enmity with God. And here's why. For it is not subject to the law of God. It is not in submission to the law of God. That's obvious because it thinks upon earthly things rather than spiritual things. But then the sad words are, neither indeed can be. That carnal mind cannot be subject to the law of God. The carnal mind is at enmity with God. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 5, we read of a corrupt mind. Now, a corrupt mind would be a mind filled with that which is sinful, filled with sin, filled with sinful thoughts. Mark 5, verse 15, we read of a right mind. A right mind. We see the demon-possessed man of Gadara. He's no longer demon-possessed. The demons have been cast out, and he's sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. In his right mind. And when we sit at the feet of Christ, we're in our right mind. We see in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, we read of a sound mind. That's a mind that's free from decay. It's a spiritually healthy mind. It's a spiritually sensible mind. It's a morally strong mind. We read in 2 Peter 3 and verse 1 of a pure mind. He said, "I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." And that's what Jeremiah is talking about when he says, "I recall." And Peter says, "I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." You've got to have a pure mind in order for pure minds to be stirred up, in order for that purity to be remembered. Again, only what is in the mind can be stirred and recalled. So it's very important what we fill our minds with, because a day of trial is going to come. And if your mind is filled with earth, if your mind is filled with sin, you're going to bring more misery into your life. Now, Satan, he knows very well the importance, the significance, the power of the mind. And therefore, he seeks to erect strongholds, fortifications, barriers, Impediments against God. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Very good advice here. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not earthly. But mighty through God. They're mighty through God. Not mighty through anyone else. Mighty through God. And this is what it accomplishes. To the pulling down of strongholds. And then he explains what he means. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing every thought into submission to Jesus Christ. Now, anything in our minds that poses a threat to our spiritual progress is a fortress of resistance against God and needs to be torn down, needs to be brought into captivity. Anything in our minds and our lives that are a hindrance to our spiritual growth is a fortress of resistance against God. Anything in our minds that holds us in its clutches, holds us in the clutches of sin, impeding our spiritual progress, is a fortress of resistance against God. Again, we can have things in our mind that just hold us in our clutches. We become slaves to our thoughts. We become prisoners to our thoughts. And spiritual progress is halted. That's a fortress. And that fortress needs to be torn down through God. That's the only way it can be torn down. You can't just say, well, I'm just going to not think about it. We all of us know by experience that doesn't work. It's mighty through God. Anything in our minds or lives that keeps us from bowing to God in submission is a fortress of resistance against God. Anything in our minds that interferes and disrupts a relationship with God is a fortress of resistance against the Lord. Anything in our mind that quenches and grieves the Holy Spirit is a fortress of resistance against God. Anything in our mind that keeps us from receiving the message of God, that's a fortress. That's a fortress of resistance against God. So what are we to do? Well, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, bringing into captivity, that is, bringing into submission every thought to the obedience of Christ. And we do this through God. Our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. That is, through God, these fortresses can be pulled down. Paul gave the exhortation in Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And as you read the context of Philippians chapter 2, you see that Christ looked beyond the cross to the glory. He looked beyond the cross to the glory that would be His. And we see the same here in Lamentations chapter 3. Jeremiah, for 20 verses, is dwelling upon the gloom. But then all of a sudden he says, I recall to my mind. And his thoughts change. And when his thoughts change, everything changed. That is, he now had hope. He was no longer filled with gloom. We see in Romans 12 and verse 2 that we're not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How are we to do that? By the renewing of the mind. By the renewing of the mind. Again, not to be conformed, not to be shaped by the world, but rather be transformed, living above the world. And the way we do that is the renewing of the mind. How do we do that? Through God. The power of the Lord. So, We must be on guard to what we allow to lodge in our minds. What we allow to lodge up here can bring a lot of misery in our life. Can bring a lot of affliction in our life. And the only way to control it is through God. That's the only way. But the mind, we have to be on guard. What goes into our minds. Because it's going to be recalled. Somewhere along the line, it will be recalled. Our minds are like a deep well from which we can draw water throughout our lives. So it's very important that we fill them with God, because you're going to need to go to that well one day and draw from it. And minds that are emptied of God, that just adds to the misery. The importance of what we recall, Jeremiah says here again in Lamentations, this I recall to my mind. And again, we can only recall what is already there. Jeremiah is saying, I brought to my mind, and then again, he begins to talk about God. I brought to my mind, or I remembered. I remembered. It's no wonder the Lord repeatedly exhorted Israel to remember Him. He is saying, saturate your minds with Me. We need to saturate our minds with God, with the things of God. You know, you may hear a message, and you may think in your mind, you know, that message did not apply to me one single bit. There isn't a message preached that does not apply to you. But it may not apply to you at that very second. That may be true. It may, 2-3 years down the road, you may recall to mind that message. But God, you need to fill your mind. Fill your mind with the Word of God. Fill your mind with the person of God. Fill your mind with spiritual things. Now notice the Lord's exhortation. If we go over to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. He says, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Remember. He says, remember what you were and remember what I did for you. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 18. Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shall well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. Remember. He's saying, fill your minds with these things. Don't let these things be forgotten. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Remember all the way that God led thee. It is good to not be oblivious to God's hand in our lives. It's good to always be observing God's hand. It's good to always be observing the ways that God leads us and put those things in our mind. Because one day, you may really need it. One day, you may really need to recall those things. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Remember the Lord thy God. Study God. Study the person of God. Study who He is. Meditate upon it. As we meditate upon it, we're filling our minds with who God is. And again, as we fill our minds, one day we can recall that. We may think, well, we forgot all about such and such. We forgot all about a message, or we forgot about a thought that we had upon God. And then in the hour of affliction, God in His grace enables us to recall that. And now there's hope. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 13. Remember the word which Moses, thy servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you His hand. Remember the word of Moses. Again, when you hear a message, don't forget it as soon as the message is over. Meditate upon it. Meditate upon it. Think. Think upon it. And again, you may think you do not need it right at that moment, and you may be right. You may not need it right at that moment. But you will need it. You will need it. And it will be good to be able to recall what you stored up here. Here the psalmist in Psalm 20 and verse 7, he said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We will remember the Lord. We will continue to recall the Lord. In Psalm 63, verses 5 and 6, he said, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Now notice those verses, Psalm 63, verse 5 and 6. I'll be satisfied, my mouth shall praise, when I remember thee. That fills our, when we can recollect God, remember things about God, that causes us to praise. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate upon thee in the night watches. Oh, to recall the spiritual truths that are in our minds. Psalm 77, verses 10 and verse 11. And I said, this is my infirmity. But, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Many times we have to say, this is my infirmity. This is my lot. This is my circumstance. But I will remember. I will remember. But again, it has to be up here before we can recall it. If all we do is store in our minds that which is earthly, that's not going to help you in the hour of trial. It's not going to help you in that hour of infirmity. Second Peter, or let's go to Psalm 105, verse 5. He says, remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. And then notice over in 2 Peter, chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 1 and verse 2. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, that you might be mindful of Scripture, is what he's saying here. I stir up your pure minds that you might be mindful of the Word of God, what you've heard, what you've read. Be mindful of those things Saturate your minds with the Word of God. That's why it's so important that we just don't skim over the Word of God, that we dig. And then we put the Word of God in our minds, and we ask God to implant it in our minds. It'll help us now, and it'll help us later also. Then notice if we go back to our text in Lamentations 3. I want to see what it was that Jeremiah recalled. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. Again in verse 21 he says, "This I recall to my mind." And here's what he recalled. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." So there he was in gloom. There he was in hopelessness, the first 20 verses. Holy Spirit of God jars his memory. And he begins to think of the mercies, plural, of the Lord. That's why it's good to go through the day and mark, pay attention to God's mercies to us and store them. We might need to think upon them someday. He says, "Thy mercies," plural, "and compassions," plural. Compassion is sympathy. It's care. He says, "I recalled to my mind all the times that God was sympathetic to me. All the time that God showed me His care." Compassion is warmth. He said, "I recalled to my mind all the times that God showed me His warmth, His love, His tenderness, His kindness." We need to observe those things in our lives. Don't go through life oblivious to God. But look for the hand of God in your life. Look for God working in your life. And when you spot it, and it's not hard to spot when you're looking for it, store it in your mind. Meditate upon it that day. Meditate upon it that night. The more we meditate upon it, the deeper it goes into our mind. That's also true of bad things. And we do that sometimes. We get thoughts in our mind that we shouldn't have. Maybe thoughts of anger, whatever, it doesn't matter. And we begin to meditate and we just turn that round and round and round and round, and it just getting further and further embedded into our minds. And we find those things very easy to recall. "Well, I remember when such and such." Wouldn't it be better to recall the Lord? Wouldn't it be better to recall spiritual truths that'll bring us hope rather than things that will just further our misery? Notice in verse 23, "They are new every morning." That is God's mercies, God's compassions. So it's obvious that Jeremiah observed these things at the beginning of the day. He says, yesterday's mercies, there's new mercies today. And there's new compassions today. They're new every morning, which led him to this: "Great is thy faithfulness." So as Jeremiah observed God in his life, he could see that God was faithful. God was constant. Look at our lives. God has been faithful. God has never been unfaithful to any one of us. God has been constant. He's trustworthy. His faithfulness. You can depend upon Him. You can rely upon Him. "Great is thy faithfulness." He recalled that God had been true to him. That's why, again, it's good to have stored in our minds the Word of God and the care of God and the guidance of God in our life,
Because we look back and we can say, you know what? I can depend upon God. He's never let me down. And this is what happened to Jeremiah. Again, you read those first 20 verses, it's nothing but misery. Nothing but gloom. Nothing but heartache. But I recall to my mind. He began to think, not upon the current situation, but he began to think upon the mercies and the compassions of God. He began to think how they were new every morning. God was continually being merciful to him, compassionate to him. And he said, great is thy faithfulness. He's thinking on these things now. And then notice, he recalled verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. The Lord is my inheritance. What's he thinking about? He's thinking about the blessings of God upon his life. And we need to do that every day. We need to observe God's hand in our lives every single day. And at some point in the day, we need to just stop, sit still for a while, and think about the blessings of God. And store it in our minds. And continually do that. Because someday, it may be of great, great benefit to you. When you're cast down and your mind is filled with gloom, to be able to recall God's blessings. To be able to recall, I'm blessed of God. I'm blessed of the Lord. He also recalled that the Lord was good. Verse 25, the Lord is good. Unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. So because Jeremiah had a mind that had been saturated with the Lord's mercy, in his hour of gloom, he was able to recall God's mercy. And that changed his whole spirit. Therefore, have I hope. Therefore, have I hope. Verse 24, therefore will I hope in him. His mind had been saturated with God's compassion, his trustworthiness. How that he had been blessed of God. How that God had been so good to him. And now, in his hour of gloom, he is able to recall these things. And he has hope. He has hope. And the result, the gloom was turned to gladness. The gloom was turned to gladness. Even if you've made the mistake, the grave error, of not saturating your mind with the Word of God, with God, the blessings of God, when that hour comes that Jeremiah found himself in, get in the Word. Saturate your mind right then with the Word of God. Don't let Satan get you caught in a loop of destruction. A loop of thoughts that just goes round and round and round. Just adds to the misery. But get in the Word. Study the Word. Saturate your mind with the Word of God. Observe God's hand in your lives. Because trials will come. And it is our nature to think and dwell upon that which will only increase our misery. Saturate the mind with the Word of God. How important it is to pay attention to God every day. Pay attention to Him. He speaks to us every day. Pay attention to God. Take notice. Take notice, even in the smallest things. Take notice in God. I mean, just a good habit. If something happens that you consider good today, thank God. If something bad happens, thank God. Just filling the mind with God. A blessing comes your way, thank God for that blessing. It's a way of reminding you where the blessing came from. You may really need it someday to be able to remember. Think upon God throughout our days. Saturate our minds with God. Saturate our minds with the Word of God, so that we will have something to recall that can bring us great encouragement, great assurance, great comfort. You see, we can, by saturating our minds with the right things, we can become our own counselor just by recalling what God has done. Just recalling. So again, the devil knows. The devil knows the power of the mind. And we all know how our minds work. And we all know how miserable our minds can make us. We need to always keep that in mind. The power of thoughts. The power of thoughts. Think upon these things, Paul said. God help us to again saturate our minds with the Lord. Always be looking for God's hand in your life. Always be observing the hand of the Lord upon your life. Always acknowledging. That's what Proverbs 3 verse 5 says. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways and He shall direct thy paths. Acknowledge God in everything. That's what's involved in saturating our minds. It's not luck, it's not chance, it's God. Dwell upon Him. Meditate. Again, we've spoken on that subject many times. Meditation is a lost art. We've become too busy to meditate. But every child of God should have time in a day when they meditate upon God, when they meditate upon God's Word, when they just saturate their minds with the things of the Lord. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us verse song.